This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And thanks to everybody for being here with us today. This is WNRN. And I'm Rick Moore. Thank you so much. I appreciate everybody joining in today. We're going to be talking about one of the more important events, the more exciting events here in Charlottesville and Central Virginia. This is the 2014 Virginia Film Festival. Our guest today, Festival Director Jody Kilbasa. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time. I'm sure you have nothing to do.
This is a tradition to be here on Sunday morning just prior to the festival, so I wouldn't miss it.
Well, thank you very much. We also have tucked in the corner, so he can't escape to go do some of his own work, Wesley Harris. He's the programmer.
Thanks for having me.
As always. And then over here, somewhere to my left.
Stereo left.
My left-hand man of years past, Sean McCord. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Rick.
Sean is the podcaster. Does a lot of the podcasts for the Virginia Film Festival. And because movies are his thing, he has to come back and sort of scratch that itch here at WNRN and the Virginia Film Festival. Sean will be doing a lot of the interviewing today just because that's what he knows how to do.
Well, thank you, Rick. And thank you, Jody and Wes, for our annual tradition of reemerging here at WNRN. This is the 27th annual Virginia Film Festival, and actually, Jody, I want to talk a little bit about the history just to catch people up, because every year I think there are people who are rediscovering the film festival. So this is your sixth year as director, and the 27th annual film festival. Let's talk a little bit about the origins that predate you.
How did the festival start? let's also talk about your sort of historical involvement as well. How many festivals has it been for you, Sean?
You know, you asked me that the other day. I don't actually recall. It's been off and on over 20 years since my wife and I came here to Charlottesville. Starting out as, you know, somebody running mics at Q&As at events, but then I guess about 10 years ago or so, I was writing for the program, and then a few years back, you came up with this podcasting idea. Since you opened the door, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be there at the festival, located somewhere centrally. We're still trying to figure that out, and I will be meeting and interviewing filmmakers as they come in, as they check in, as they have an opportunity, take 5-10 minutes out of their time, sit down, talk about their film. By filmmaker, I mean it could be a producer, actor, writer, director, someone who's here promoting a film, to get down and talk with me for a few minutes about what they're here for, and then we'll be posting those as soon as we can on the Virginia Film Festival site, so people can look at the program and say, hey, there's a film coming up, you know, at 4 o'clock that I'm interested in, and if they look at the festival website or follow the festival Twitter feed or look at the Facebook site, say, oh, look, here's an interview with someone involved with that film that they can listen to right then before the event.
And that's right. We have a brand new festival website. It's virginiafilmfestival.org, but a new website designed by VibeThink, and it is stunning and very, very user-friendly, and we encourage everybody to go to virginiafilmfestival.org to check out the entire schedule. But, you know, you asked about the history of the festival. I'm sure you can chime in at any point to add on to this, but this is our 27th year, and the festival actually was founded by Governor Gerald Blyles, who is still involved with the festival, with a Presidency in Film series. Governor Blyles is the director of the Miller Center, and we have been exploring the presidency through film with the Miller Center now for the third year, and we have a number of films that focus on that again this year, along with Patricia Kluge,
Right.
And they approached the University of Virginia to talk about the idea of an annual film festival. And when it first started, it was the Festival of American Film, I believe. And it focused entirely on American film. And over the years, that evolved. And now we have a much broader program that focuses on the very best in cinema from around the world. And of course, for many years, there was an overarching theme as well. And I'm sure our listeners are familiar with a lot of those themes that included most recently Aliens.
Aliens.
Funny Business, which was the theme that I inherited. Film noir, Cool, Speed. Wesley, help me out here. A couple others.
Injustice was my first year at the festival.
That's right.
Back in 2005.
There was one that explored religion. That was, what was that entitled?
It was Revelations.
Revelations, yes. So a number of themes. And when I came in 6 years ago, I inherited a theme called Funny Business and had about 5 months to put up the festival. And after that, after engaging in a lot of dialogue, both across grounds and in the community, everybody seemed to think that the idea of an overarching theme had kind of run its course. And I liked the idea, frankly, of not being hampered by a theme because I thought that it would allow us to actually explore a much wider variety of themes, and we could focus on religion or politics or sexuality or whatever current topic that was important out there, not only through our documentaries but through our narratives as well. And, you know, that seems to have worked because the last several years our attendance has more than doubled. We're actually screening the very latest films that are making the festival circuit, along with a lot of the high-profile late fall and winter releases that are part of the Academy Award and Golden Globe dialogue as well. In fact, this year is no exception. We have several of those films. In fact, I picked up my New York Times and was reading it this morning, and they have a holiday film selection, and four of the five feature articles in that take a look at films that we're screening during this year's Virginia Film Festival, and these films won't be out until late November or December. Films like Wild in The Imitation Game and Mr. Turner and Fox Catcher. So, you know, they serve as anchors for the festival, but then Wesley and I work together to program incredible independent films and foreign films and docs that really flesh it out.
Because these centerpiece opening night and closing night big tentpole films can serve as something like a magnet or a focusing lens through which people can come and explore both that handful of films, but also the dozens of other things that they might not otherwise know to take a chance on. So that's how we look at making that balance of the high-profile tentpole anchors and the more boutique and independent and niche markets to allow people to craft a very individual experience throughout the 4 days of about 120 films.
7 minutes after the hour, talking about the 2014 Virginia Film Festival with Wesley Harris. He was just talking about some of the films coming. He's the programmer, Jody Kilbasa, the festival director. Sean McCord doing the podcast this year.
For those who are listening live, it is 11:07. In case you forgot to put your clocks back forward 1 hour. Okay, let's. Another thing that I think you've successfully done, Jody, especially in your new role, is turn the film festival not just into focusing on films, but arts and history, and we have other events that are going on during the festival or around the festival or the same week of the festival. So talk about your role as, and make sure I get the title right, is it Provost of the Arts?
Vice Provost.
Vice Provost of the Arts. Sorry, didn't mean to promote you. and how that has allowed you to expand to, so the festival, there are festival events throughout the year. There are events that come out of your office, film screenings and such. As Vice Provost of the Arts, you helped host Kevin Spacey here last month. There are events going on next week where it's not just the 27th Annual Film Festival, but also the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Well, that's right. You know, my role as Vice Provost of the Arts is to represent all of the arts at the University of Virginia and to be able to represent the incredible work that's being done by our faculty and our students, the creative work and the scholarly work as well, and also our public-facing institutions at UVA, like the Fralin Museum of Art, the Kluge Rue Collection, Art Collection, the Heritage Theater Festival, and, of course, the Virginia Film Festival, a lot of the incredible music programs we have, like the Charlottesville Symphony at the University of Virginia, among many others. And the festival is a great convener of all of these because film is really such, has paints on such a broad canvas. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of this year, we are very fortunate that we have been loaned 4 original panels of the Berlin Wall. They're on display in the library quad, several hundred yards to the west of the rotunda. And these are original panels of the Berlin Wall that have been painted on by the German artist Dennis Kaun, who painted on them just 2 nights before the wall actually opened up and they opened the borders. And it is the 25th anniversary of the actual fall of the wall this Sunday. Coming Sunday, that's a week right. from today, November 9th. And I've been asked to pull together by the president of the university a symposium that focuses on this historic moment that touches upon the impact of the Cold War and the cultural, social, historical, and broader implications that the Berlin Wall had on the world. And as a result of that, starting Monday evening, we have a series of lectures and symposiums, artistic installations. The Department of Drama has pulled together an original theatrical piece on the Berlin Wall, all happening from November 3rd through the 9th. And of course, the Virginia Film Festival has 5 films that deal with the Berlin Wall that include Red Army, Walesa, 41 on 41 about George H.W. Bush, and we have Andy Card, who was George W. Bush's chief of staff, coming okay. in. Marlon Fitzwater, who was the press secretary for President Reagan and for George H.W. Bush, coming in for a moderated conversation with Barbara Perry from the Miller Center and Mary Kate Carey, who actually was the producer of this film. We have Wim Wenders' Wings of Desire. Beautiful, beautiful film. And then
Dr. Strangelove, which we have a lovely 35mm print sitting in my office right now.
Nice. Is this a anniversary screening of Dr. Strangelove? Wouldn't that come
out? It is indeed. Yep.
Yes. So this is the 50th anniversary.
Right.
And that's part of our broader Library of Congress series as well. It celebrates the National Film Registry, of which this film is part of.
Let me butt in real quick because we have 3 people here talking about the Virginia Film Festival: Sean McCord, Jody Kilbasa, Wesley Harris. And the one thing that we have not done, we've given out the website, which is wonderful, as I did my homework, virginiafilmfestival.org. We've already talked about a few films. And for those who need to know, you can pick up your film festival guide and the Seville Weekly and probably several other places around town. But no one has mentioned the actual dates and times of the film festival. We've just sort of skimmed across it.
Oh, well, it starts November 6th and runs through the 9th. So coming up this Thursday, we're really just 4 days away from the launch of the film festival, continues through Sunday evening. And it pretty much, starting with the late afternoon on Thursday afternoon, mm-hmm. runs almost around the clock, as late as you would expect, going very late with screenings every single night. The opening night film this year is a world premiere of a new film, Big Stone Gap, which is by the best-selling author Adriana Trujani, mm-hmm. Who's known for a series of novels on Big Stone Gap, Virginia, where she grew up, and she will be coming in along with the Academy Award-winning producer Donna Gelati, who won an Academy Award for Shakespeare in Love and produced a festival favorite just 2 years ago, Silver Linings Playbook. They'll be in, and will be joined by Ashley Judd, who stars in the film, along with Patrick Wilson, Jenna Elfman, and Jasmine Guy. And that's our opening night film. And there's been tremendous interest in this film. It's a very warm look at a group of sort of lovable characters that live in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. And Ashley Judd and Patrick Wilson play the leads in this film. And we're thrilled to be able to do this. It's a great it really reinforces a lot of what this festival was founded to do, which was to throw a spotlight on Virginia filmmaking, because this is a film that is by a Virginian, about Virginia, and shot entirely on location in Virginia. So that's a great thing for us.
Yeah, this is one of the tent poles that Wes was talking about. And this film...
Sorry, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
Sunday.
So Big Stone Gap is the opening premiere, first tentpole film, Thursday night. Rick, you mentioned being able to get copies of the program in this week's Seville. Where do people go now to get tickets?
Well, they can go down to the Main Street Arena on the downtown mall. The box office will be open starting tomorrow every day, and then all during the evening, during the festival, as we have screenings. You can also go to the arts box office on the Betsy and John Casteen Arts Grounds at the University of Virginia. But, you know, honestly, the quickest and easiest way is to just go online at virginiafilmfestival.org. It's a beautiful website. A lot of the films have trailers, so you can take a look at what you're interested in seeing. You know, they're written about, great visuals, and all the information that you could possibly want to know about the festival is right there. We also have one other opportunity. If you haven't picked up a Seville yet, on Wednesday morning in the Daily Progress, we'll do another drop of all the programs. So look for that this Wednesday.
All right, so 15 minutes after the hour, we are talking with Wesley Harris, Jody Kilbasa, Sean McCord, about the 2014 Virginia Film Festival. Hang tight.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
T&N Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing. T&N Printing can be reached at T-NPrinting.com.
Commonwealth Reserve, Commonwealth Skybar's new private event space. From food and bar menus to floor plans, every detail is customizable. Commonwealth Reserve for business meetings, presentations, receptions, luncheons, and dinners. Commonwealth Reserve's event planner can tailor events from 20 to 100 guests. You can book your event at CommonwealthReserve.com.
Valley Subaru, Stanton's employee-owned Subaru dealership. Valley Subaru specializes in all-wheel drive vehicles and has new and used Foresters and Outbacks on the lot. You can browse their current selection with live online support at MyValleySubaru.com.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being with us today as we talk with Jody and Wes and Sean McCord about the 2014 Virginia Film Festival. This is 91.9 and Harrisonburg's 95.1. Sean McCord co-hosting the show today because he is... is movie geek a good word?
Not the word I would choose, but...
And what word would you choose as you continue doing most of the interviews?
Well, let's say film buff.
Film buff.
In fact, I'm in the buff right now, but you can't tell because it's radio.
Thank goodness for that.
They won't let us out.
specific movie, Sean, that you want to talk about?
Well, on the theme of integrating... different forms of art. We're doing something very interesting this year, Jody, and that is you're having a live performance. That there's also a companion film to go with that with esteemed actor Hal Holbrook.
Well, that's right. You know, we're the only film festival in the United States that has done this. There's a new film out called Holbrook Twain, An American Odyssey by director Scott Teams, that is a documentary that takes a look at the 60-plus years that Hal Holbrook has played the character of Mark Twain in Mark Twain Tonight. Mm-hmm. They won a Tony Award for this, think about it, in 1966, playing this role on Broadway. And we're fortunate enough to be able to present Hal Holbrook and Mark Twain Tonight, his live theatrical performance on Friday evening, November 7th at the Paramount Theater. It's at 8 o'clock. It's an incredible show, incredible performance. And then the very next day, we'll be screening Holbrook Twain, An American Odyssey, and the director Scott Teams will be on hand to talk about the film with Hal Holbrook. And so there's two opportunities to see this legend, this icon of the American stage and of film here in Charlottesville. And it's an extraordinary opportunity. And again, we were able to do this in tandem. No other film festival has, and we're very proud of that.
I remember seeing Hal Holbrook do Mark Twain, do his performance 30 years ago, and I thought, man, I can't believe this guy's been doing it for 30 years. And who knew he was only, you know, not even up to the halfway point at that
point. Right, exactly. 60 years of playing Mark Twain.
Wes, you want to dive in? And Jody mentioned how we've been able to expand the festival and bring in the best of some international films, and I know that's a particular interest of yours.
Mm-hmm.
So tell people who maybe haven't had a chance to look at the festival yet, at the program yet, who are looking for some guidelines, some particular favorites of yours, and where they come from.
Well, what I think is really fun about this year's international programming in particular is that there are a lot of different genres and types and tones of films that we have, from something that's just sort of a straightforward and really enjoyable, juicy, romantic comedy from Ireland about the publishing world with Poison Pen, or one of the most abstract and cutting-edge filmmakers, Pedro Costa, whose new film, Horse Money, we're going to be the second place in the country to screen this film after the New York Film Festival a week or two back. And there's a lot of really exciting things in between, from close to regional premieres like What We Do in the Shadows, which is the Flight of the Conchords vampire movie, the mm-hmm. the important documentary chronicling the vampire population of Wellington, New Zealand, from Jermaine Clement, which is actually part of our collaboration with the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection, because his collaborator on that film, Taika Waititi, was writing partner and co-director on the piece as well. Both it and this other film that is also a part of the Kluge Roo series, Drunk Town's Finest, made a big premiere at Sundance, and we were films that we were tracking and had our eyes on anyway, and we have that added luxury of having the benefit of a partner like the Kluge Roo Art Collection to give a real framing device to these films. We're bringing in the director Sidney Freeland for Drunk Town's Finest, which follows a trio of individuals on a Navajo reservation. So we're able to come at these focuses from a lot of different directions, and that's in large part thanks both to the diversity and strength of the films that are being made right now, as well as the riches of the university and the other organizations with whom we can collaborate to frame these events.
Wes, one of my favorite moments from a festival of the past few years was 3-4 years ago when we had Vince Gilligan here.
Right.
And you interviewed him, and he came in and talked about Breaking Bad.
Right.
And we showed the season finale.
Season three finale.
And which, you know, I had already seen, but man, being able to see it on the big screen and with him right there.
Right.
This year, you're introducing another AMC series that some people may not be as familiar with, but also has a sort of very cinematic look to it. The series is Halt and Catch Fire. Can you tell us about that and how that came about?
Well, that's right. Well, it was just as with Breaking Bad. If for people who might not be aware, Vince Gilligan, the creator of that show, really got his start in the business here at the Virginia Film Festival
mm-hmm.
as part of the Governor's Screenwriting Award, where he was given that award by the chair of our board, Mark Johnson, who was the executive producer of Breaking Bad. The two linked back up together after Vince Gilligan wrapped up The X-Files a few
right.
years later and made one of the greatest series in television history. Mark Johnson's also a producer on AMC's Halt and Catch Fire, which was co-created by another Virginia native, Christopher Rogers. Both of them are coming in for that event that we're having during the festival. It's a free screening. We'll be showing the pilot episode of Halt and Catch Fire, and Chris and Mark will be there to talk about the process of taking a concept to a treatment to a pilot to a series.
Very nice.
And that's free, is it not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even better.
Can I ask a question about a specific movie?
Sure.
Especially with this being radio, is I had no idea that this existed, but it totally caught my interest. The film that will be playing, Led Zeppelin Played Here. Can somebody tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's a really fun documentary from a handful of filmmakers outside of the D.C. area in Maryland. It's a documentary exploring this mythos that's built up since the late 60s about this supposed performance by either Led Zeppelin or the Yardbirds at the time in a high school gymnasium in suburban Maryland for about 50 confused teenagers. And as you might imagine, teenagers, late 60s, put all the pieces together. A lot of the memories are a bit fuzzy, a little hazy. So it's diving back through that. They do come close to something like an answer, and they have some really surprising people pop up for interviews that I won't spoil for anyone wanting to give the documentary a chance. But it's a whole lot of fun.
Where?
That is on Thursday evening in the Regal Downtown.
11:23 here as we talk about the 2014 Virginia Film Festival, Jody Kilbasa, Wesley Harris, and Sean McCord.
Well, speaking of surprise guest stars, we haven't talked about all the people that are going to be here for the festival. Starting with, I know a lot of people were really excited. We got some coverage, but Richard Roundtree, Shaft himself, coming to the festival.
Well, you know, that's just, it's very true. We have a sort of an embarrassment of riches in terms of remarkable guest talent coming for the festival this year. I think I've shared some of it already with Ashley Judd and Patrick Wilson and Jasmine Guy and Jenna Elfman. But on the very same evening that we have the world premiere of Big Stone Gap, we are bringing in Richard Roundtree, the original Shaft, for the screening of that 70s iconic film that sort of launched the strong black detective who could really kick some serious butt out there. And we're screening that almost the same time, right? 8 o'clock that evening. And it's in support of the Fralin Museum of Art, another one of those sort of artistic connections and synergistic relationships happening across the grounds of the university. That Fralin is hosting an exhibit right now that features some of Gordon Parks's photography work, and it's absolutely stunning. And so that's free and open to the general public. Beautiful black and white photography at the Fralin Museum of Art. And we're screening the Gordon Parks directed Shaft and having Richard Roundtree in, having a moderated conversation actually with John Mason from the University of Virginia, who curated the Gordon Parks exhibit. It's just great to go back and be able to explore this incredible film that had, you know, one of the great soundtracks,
right.
Which, you know, whenever I hear that soundtrack, I just light up like a Christmas tree. It's so incredible.
Rick, you're gonna cue up that soundtrack for us?
I'd only known that this is, but I think Les Temps Perdue only goes back to the 80s. I don't think we, and by the way, we're talking about these films, and Jody mentioned how The Shaft features sort of about the same time as the Led Zeppelin film. If you go to the website, VirginiaFilmFestival.com.
.org.
Thank you. You can sort the films by location, by date. It is the best films, the best website for the film festival that I think you've had in quite some time. So.
Yeah, well, I would say ever, because when you go back, there weren't websites a long time ago. So it's far and away the best website
Helps to be able to sort your films like that if you only want to be downtown, if you can only go on Thursday or Friday night, but have this time period. Very helpful to make your decision.
We had a terrible website in 1989.
Yeah. And there's also... is there still a mobile app to go with the film festival?
We have a mobile-friendly version of our site that's scalable. So rather than having to go through the hassle of downloading the app, learning the different interface and whatnot, it's a fully scalable site for tablet, iPhone, whatever you want to throw at it. It'll still look pretty fun.
Even better.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have other guests, though.
Yes, we have other guests. We have Barry Levinson coming.
Barry Levinson.
What a career.
Amazing career. When you think of the films that he's done, you go back to Diner, Avalon. Of course, we're screening the 25th anniversary of The Natural, but also won the Academy Award for Rain Man, Good Morning Vietnam. A remarkable, remarkable career.
As a director.
As a director. Right. And a producer. as well.
That's right.
Exactly. So he's just had this extraordinary, legendary career. We're bringing him in for his new film, The Humbling, that stars Al Pacino. And that screening is on Saturday afternoon at the Paramount Theater. And then at noon on Sunday, 25th anniversary screening of one of my favorite sports films of all time, The Natural, starring Robert Redford. And he'll be there to introduce the film and have a discussion with it just prior to as well. So we hope people will check that out. We have Frank Langella coming in, another one of those legends of film and stage. I saw Langella when I was in high school play Dracula,
yes.
On the Broadway stage, and then went on to reprise that role in film.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, he's played heavies. He's played comedies. Just an extraordinary actor. And we're also screening Frost Nixon. Of course, mm-hmm. he played Richard Nixon as part of our Presidency in Film series, and he'll be on hand for a moderated conversation with Ken Hughes from the Miller Center, who recently is released a new work on the Nixon Watergate tapes as well.
And then his new film, 5 to 7.
Right. That's right. Julie Lynn, who's a festival favorite and has been in the last several years with Albert Nobbs and Mother and Child and last year's Faces of Love that starred the late Robin Williams, is back this year with a new film that stars Anton Yelchin and a lovely new French actress, Bernice. And I'm blanking on her last name, but she's
Marlo.
Thank you, is going to be just this remarkable star, I think, moving forward. She's just stunning in the film. But Frank Langella also has a wonderful role in the film. Victor Levin, the director, will be on hand along with Julie Lynn and Bonnie Curtis to discuss the film as well. And interestingly enough, Julian Bond
mm-hmm.
has a cameo in this film.
Really?
And he's actually in three films at this year's Virginia Film Festival. We'll be screening Freedom Summer, which is the follow-up to Freedom Riders that we had in the festival a couple years ago. That is our high school screening in front of 1,100 high school students earlier in the day, and Julian Bond will be on hand to discuss with Deborah McDowell of the Carter Woodson Institute. They will reprise that screening Friday evening as well for the general public of Freedom Summer with Julian Bond. And then Eduardo Montes Bradley has done a new documentary on Julian, and he'll be there along with another documentary that Eduardo has done on Rita Dove, and they will both be there for an afternoon with Rita Dove and Julian Bond. And then, of course, Julian's in 5 to 7 Saturday night at the Paramount, our centerpiece film.
So I think I got this whole Julian Bond theme.
There is.
If I watch a film and there's guests afterward, am I paying separately for the guest visits? And
no.
If I buy the ticket to the movie, does that include?
It does indeed. It's all one price and really very affordable. We really try to keep the vast majority of these films at a regular theater price of $11. There are a couple of films in the festival that are slightly more expensive, like our opening night film, mm-hmm. and maybe one or two others. But in general, it's really, really affordable and very accessible. And that does include the discussion with the actors, the directors, or the academics, or any discussions or introductions that we have as well.
It even includes the 3D glasses for our one 3D movie that we're showing this year.
Which movie is that, Wes?
That would be Jean-Luc Godard's Goodbye to Language 3D, so probably not at the top of the list of what you'd expect for me to have said just then.
But number 3 or 4, most people's list.
It's right up there, nipping at the heels, sure.
He promised a bug's life during this year's festival.
But actually, Rick, I'm glad you brought up the discussions, because that's one of the great things about the film festival. It's not just an opportunity to go out and see some films on a big screen that you might not otherwise get to see, but to have a discussion afterwards and an intelligent discussion afterwards with people who were involved in the film, whether writers, always my favorite, or actors or directors, people involved with getting it to the big screen. So when you walk away from that, you haven't just seen a film, you've been involved in a conversation. And I think that's what people remember the most when they look back on the festivals, were those kind of conversations.
Well, I think you're right. That distinguishes the Virginia Film Festival from, I think, the 1,500 other plus film festivals across the United States, is the level of discussion that we have because of our partnership with the University of Virginia, the fact that we bring in so many community experts as well. We mm-hmm. really partner within the community to screen films that we think are socially relevant here in this community and of interest to this community, and also the special guests guests that we're bringing in as well. So, you know, I mean, for instance, a perfect example would be our screening of Slingshot this year, which is a documentary that focuses on Dean Kamen, who, of course, invented the Segway, right, in his 10-year plus quest to develop a water purification system, which actually he has done, and it only costs about $300 or so. And he's able to then take this into a number of small, tiny villages in third world countries that do not have clean water for their kids and for families. And, you know, the idea is this potentially could cut disease by over 50%. Around the world, and it only costs $300, and it's his quest to do this, and how he suddenly realized that the best way to distribute this was through partnering with Coke, because they have this amazing distribution system, and so he was able to do that. We have the director Paul Lazarus coming in. We're working with Terry Kent of Better World Betty, who's going to be part of this discussion, and Dana Elzey from the School of Engineering for a Moderated Conversation, which is a really interesting assembly of people and voices to talk about this subject, or bringing in Katie Couric.
That was going to be my next mention, speaking of people with UVA connections.
That's right. Bringing in the renowned journalist Katie Couric, who will be in with her new film, the documentary Fed Up, mm-hmm, about the alarming rate of obesity for young kids and our children. And bringing in the director that the film really the doctor that the film really features, Dr. Mark Hyman, who will be in with Katie Couric for a moderated conversation about this serious subject. And one that's, you know, constantly focused on all over this country, but something that, you know, has been the talk here in Charlottesville a lot. I know a couple of years ago we screened a film, Cafeteria Man, when the chocolate milk was a big deal in this town in right. school lunches. Right. So this is something we really need to focus on. And it's not so much about I think everybody knows about this. It's just about making informed and intelligent choices for our children and for ourselves as well.
Another UVA grad is David Baldacci. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, from the law school, who's a novelist, and he's been his novels have been adapted for the screen for a few years now.
That's right, and he has a new adaptation, which he actually wrote the screenplay for, I believe, Wish You Well, mm-hmm, that is featured on Saturday afternoon at the Piedmont Community College Dickinson Theater, which is a new venue for us, and we hope that our audiences find that venue. Beautiful theater over there, and Mr. Baldacci will be in, along with one of the film's producers, for a moderated conversation as well, immediately following the film, with Jane Coulo, who's the new director of the Festival of the Book. And, you know, this is, again, a film that was shot in Virginia as well. So that's also a really wonderful thing to be able to highlight.
Another film that we're screening up at PVCC is The Sound and the Fury, from the William Faulkner tale. Of course, Faulkner was a writer in residence here at UVA a few years ago.
Just a few.
just a few years ago. You remember Rick when he was bumming around?
Yeah. You know, he was always asking for change to buy a drink.
That was back when we had that garbage website.
The producer Lee Kaplan will be here, and James Franco is in this film. How many films do we have going up at PVCC?
It's about a dozen or so. It's a scant dozen. It's more afternoon through evening on the weekend, and a little bit on Friday.
So I've got here a copy of the program festival the festival program, that people should have picked up in the Seville Weekly. You've mentioned a couple of changes already, such as Ashley Judd was not announced by the time the program came out.
Right.
Have there been some other changes where people haven't gone through the paper copy of the festival?
Yeah, unfortunately, we've lost Dumb and Dumber 2, that I was certainly looking forward to. Would have been great fun through scheduling snafu with the studio, but those things happen. My suspicion is that we'll make an announcement tomorrow replacing that, and I certainly hope so. So, you know, check out Facebook, check the website. We'll add and replace that. Wesley, anything else that we've added?
Not since the program's gone to print, anyway. We were really happy that we did have a couple last minute really exciting additions that we did just barely carve out space for and get it out there for everyone to enjoy flipping through.
Yeah, obviously Ashley Judd was a big announcement as well, so that was great to add in.
11:37 here on WNRN. Our guests today, Jody Kilbasa, Wesley Harris, and Sean McCord, talking about the 2014 Virginia Film Festival. Hang tight.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
Ace Biscuit and Barbecue, 711 Henry Avenue, Charlottesville's destination for barbecue and soul food. Ace's made-from-scratch barbecue, ground sausage, biscuits, and breakfast are available 8 to 8 Wednesday through Friday and 9 to 3 weekends, or by the pound for your party. Where downtown meets down home, acebiscuitandbarbecue.com.
Route 11 Potato Chips, celebrating 20 years of making all-natural, kettle-cooked potato chips in Mount Jackson, Virginia. Route 11 Potato Chips offers flavors like Chesapeake Crab and Dill Pickle, all cooked in sunflower oil in an environmentally friendly facility. Information for retail outlets and fry viewings is at rt11.com.
The Maudlin Center for the Arts at the University of Richmond, presenting traditional bluegrass phenoms, the Gibson Brothers, with special guest Liz Longley on Friday, November 14th at the Maudlin Center, and the Ukrainian folk of Daka Braka on Sunday, November 16th at Gottwald Playhouse, Richmond Center Stage. Details at maudlin.richmond.edu.
Hi, I'm Logan Steele from Greek Weekend at UVA. We invite all families and friends to celebrate with us at our Greek Carnival from 1 to 3 p.m. in Madison Bowl on Sunday, November 9th. You can join us for an afternoon that includes food, games, music, crafts, inflatables, and prizes. All proceeds from the event benefit Charlottesville's City of Promise, a local organization dedicated to improving the educational and developmental outcomes of youth in the 10th and Page, West Haven, and Star Hill neighborhoods. For more information, you can find us on Facebook. I'm Logan Steele, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org. Profit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And again, we're talking about the 2014 Virginia Film Festival with podcaster, film buff, and longtime friend of the wake-up call on WNRN, Sean McCord, programmer of the festival, Wesley Harris, as well as important festival director and vice provost of the arts. Was that the... I kept it at Vice. I haven't promoted you yet, Jody Kilbasa. Before Sean gets into his very detailed and educational questions, I want to throw another film out there, find more out about for my personal needs. I Am Big Bird. The Carol, is it Spiny or Spiny?
Spiny.
The Carol Spiny story. So I Am Big Bird, the Carol Spiny story.
Yeah, it's a pretty informative title. It is exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, but is it a documentary, film?
Yes, absolutely. So it's following the man, Carol, who has played and operated Big Bird for 40 years. And while a lot of the...
Almost as long as Hal Holbrook has Mark Twain.
And there for many people, it's a male, not a female. I mean, for when you see Carol Spiny, I was talking about this with a friend. You're like, oh, I thought that was a woman.
Hmm. Sort of a little Bart Simpson duality. Is that what we're looking at? But yeah, it does follow him. Who he's had a successor chosen for I think the last 18 years or so, and he's not stepped down, and he's not really showing any signs of slowing down for performing Big Bird. So it's the man behind, and it's the persona of that performance. So it's something like a successor to the Being Elmo film of a few years back that took a similar approach of both diving back into the roots of. Starting and creating with Jim Henson to this current state now, where before very, very much longer, he's going to have to make a decision one way or the other to whether to let that successor do a job.
So some behind the scenes
right. Of
Sesame Street.
Exactly so, and that's on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Cobra Theater, so that should be a family-friendly slot, we're hoping.
So, Jody, we're talking about Sunday night, talking about we lost Dumb and Dumber 2. Now, but expanding films to Sundays also kind of a, a recent thing, something that, that you initiated? Because my recollection in the past, the film festival used to like peter out about noon on Sunday.
Well, it certainly doesn't any longer.
It does not.
We continue selling films out into, you know, pretty late on Sunday evening. What's our last screening, around 8:30 on Sunday evening?
Yeah, I mean, that's we have some things happening until about 10 o'clock, screening's getting
right.
down. But Sean,
right.
remember, your institutional memory on this is a little longer than most folks. We've been doing it for about half a decade at this point.
Since I arrived on the scene 6 years ago, yeah. I could not even conceive of Sunday is a great movie going day.
It is.
So why cut it short on at 2 o'clock on Sunday? I'm sorry, NFL. so as a result of that, you know, we have been selling films out not only in the afternoon, but into the shank of the evening, so to speak, on Sunday. And of course, there was not really an official closing night film on Sunday, which is a major tradition for every film festival that I was aware of. And so that's something that we have embraced fully. And this year we've decided. Normally, we've closed with a new film, but this year, with Robin Williams' tragic and very unfortunate passing, we thought we would have a tribute to Robin Williams and screen the 25th anniversary of the Dead Poets Society. Paul Younger-Witt, who is a UVA alum, will return. He was the producer of that film, along with the Academy Award-winning screenwriter Tom Schulman. So it's a great opportunity to revisit this classic film and to go behind the scenes with both Mr. Schulman and Mr. Witt, who will share some information about Robin Williams and about the making of Dead Poets Society. And we thought it was a really appropriate way to close the festival this year. But at the very same time, we're also screening The Imitation Game, which is one of the films that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's probably the lead film in terms of Oscar buzz for Best Picture this year. And of course, that focuses on the man who broke the code during World War II and potentially changed history.
With Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
A very, very, you know, rising young popular star as Alan Turing.
Yes.
And great that people are finally paying attention to Benedict Cumberbatch. But great that people are finally paying attention to Alan Turing and the contributions that he made really to modern-day computing.
Yeah, exactly.
Another institution that I have a sort of fondness for is the Library of Congress. You mentioned earlier some of the films. Now, Library of Congress is actually our neighbor up in Culpeper, which is the home of their National Preservation Center.
And I actually thank you for that introduction, because when I first arrived here in Charlottesville nearly 6 years ago, you were the one who brought this to my attention about the Library of Congress being in Culpeper right up the street, 45 minutes away, suggested I go for a tour, which I did. And as a result, we have a relationship now with the Library of Congress for the Virginia Film Festival. And about a year ago, actually, the university signed a memorandum of understanding that allows us to explore a deeper relationship and partnership with the Library of Congress as well, not only in Culpeper, but all the way up to the mothership, so to speak, up in D.C. And it's really been exciting partnership, and particularly for the Virginia Film Festival, which is for 3 years now, 4 years now, been exploring and celebrating the National Film Registry, which of course was created through an act of Congress, which takes a look at each year sort of memorializing in the National Film Registry a number of films that are considered important because of their cultural and historical and artistic contributions. A wonderful list if you have a chance to review it.
So a few weeks ago over at the Paramount, they screened some Charlie Chaplin shorts they brought directly down from the Library of Congress and some other shorts, and it was actually a very nice afternoon, and they showed samples of deteriorating film.
Right.
And what happens to film when it's nitrate-based, and how it tends to eat itself up and can even burn underwater. And sort of dovetailing with that, as part of the Library of Congress screening, we'll be screening the 100th anniversary of Charlie Chaplin's The Tramp.
That's right. When you think about it, this is really, I think, when America fell in love with the movies, and a lot of it had to do with this character. And I was reading today in the New York Times, and there was a quote from Fatty Arbuckle, who is not remembered to the extent that Harold Lloyd or Charlie Chaplin is.
Yeah.
And he said people will be talking about Charlie Chaplin 100 years from now. And sure enough, they are. He's remembered. He's an icon. He's somebody who, you know, you see images of and people recognize that character, the tramp that he created in 1914. Even today, and the impact that he had creatively on cinema is extraordinary, and one that continues even today through artists. You know, so I think it's very fitting that we celebrate this anniversary.
And another screening, what is it? Saturday at 10 a.m. in the Cobra Theater, The Wizard of Oz. And Wes, how much do the tickets cost for Wizard of Oz?
Well, they cost $0, Sean.
Are you playing Dark Side of the Moon as the soundtrack?
You can bring your headphones.
That's right. This is actually part of our Family Day screening, which is also a tradition at the University of Virginia. So we're screening that at 10 a.m. at the Culber Theater on the Betsy and John Casteen Arts Grounds. Free parking and plenty of it in the Culberth Garage.
Right.
We encourage families to come down. This is a wonderful opportunity to see this incredible classic, my favorite film of all time. I think it holds up today, and for what it is and what it does, it's extraordinary. Extraordinary classic. It's the 75th anniversary, of course, part of the National Film Registry, and it's free and open to the public. At the same time, we're screening all day long 600 young members of the Young Filmmakers Academy who've written, created, produced, directed, and starred in their own 90-second short films. UVA mentors go in and work with them, and these are going to be screened, and their moms and dads and brothers and sisters come in and watch these kids walk the red carpet for their world premieres of their films as well. And then we have a series of interactive workshops going on with the arts departments and programs that will teach the kids the art and craft of filmmaking through the various art forms. It's a great day, and it's all free, and we encourage people to come down between 10 and 3 p.m.
And if you think you've seen Wizard of Oz before, even on your big screen TV, man, you have not seen it until you've seen it projected on the big screen.
And this is a brand new, really great restoration, as is the case for those Chaplin shorts as well.
Speaking of interactive filmmakers, this is the, have we been doing the Adrenaline Film Festival? Sort of the Adrenaline Film Festival is part of the film festival from the beginning?
This is its 11th year.
11th year, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about that, because that's a wonderful little program that not everybody knows about.
Yeah, so our typical line for it is a 72-hour filmmaking blitz in which teams of directors and filmmakers get together and take from concept to pitch to script to casting to shooting to editing to screening a film all within a few days of the festival, culminating in a public screening on Saturday night at 9 p.m. in the Cobra Theater.
Yeah.
What is unique about our program, the Adrenaline Film Project, and what sets it apart from something like the 48-hour Film Project or other similar competitions is the mentorship element. It is a guided process. There is a pitch and a back and forth guidance to not necessarily just mimic a studio environment or system, but to actually help inform and grow these filmmakers' skill sets through this very intense learning process over the days of the festival.
It really is an amazing event. I mean, you'll see people, I guess the filmmakers get together on Wednesday night, and they're given...
There's a prop and a line of dialogue, I believe.
Right, and they you'll see these filmmakers running around all over town. You'll see them at the university, you'll see them at the downtown mall, and putting together these films, and they screen them on Saturday night. And, boy, the energy in the room that night, there's just room full of all these really, really tired but creative people who have put together these things in 72 hours. And some of the films themselves are just great.
Yeah, the fact that any team can pull it off over the restrictions of what the competition is amazing. And the fact that a dozen or so do it is even more amazing.
11:52 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. 2014 Virginia Film Festival being discussed with programmer Wesley Harris, festival director Jody Kilbasa, podcaster Film Buff, and lead interviewer today, Sean McCord.
We talked about some of the Virginia filmmakers. We have a spotlight, in fact, right here on page 31 in the program, for those of you who are reading along at home. Spotlight on Virginia filmmakers. We've already mentioned Big Stone Gap, Wish You Well. From Grain to Growler, a documentary about the explosion of craft beer culture in the Commonwealth.
Well, Wesley, you take this one.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let's just really enjoy that little nuanced wordplay you had of exploding cultures for this fermentation-focused documentary.
From a dangerously made product in your basement.
Some homebrew exploding
nicely
in the garage.
Nicely done, Sean.
Yeah. yeah, so that is, it's a sort of medium-length documentary. It's about 35 minutes long, and we're going to be screening that on Sunday evening at 4 p.m. in the Paramount, which, if anyone's interested, is indeed at this moment still the only theater in town in which you can drink beer in the theater, so keep that in mind. We're likely to have a tasting ahead of prior to the screening. We're going to have a panel discussion afterwards with the directors who are based out of Richmond, who have pulled together this documentary focusing on what were sort of the roots of the craft beer movement in the state, with Legend in Richmond and Star Hill here in Charlottesville and Crozet and others throughout. The folks taking it to this new level with Beer Run and Champion Brewing Company. We're going to have brewers and representatives from a lot of these places there on hand for a panel, and it should be a whole lot of fun and a nice way to enjoy your afternoon after 3 days of very intense film watching, which I imagine everyone out there is going to have been doing.
You know, Wes, I'm impressed. Every time I've mentioned a film, you've been able to tell us when and where it's going to screen. I mean, I know you're the programmer and all.
You've seen the big board in my office, I think, the big dry erase board.
You know, I might add, Sean, that Wesley, when I first met Wesley, he was a production coordinator at the Virginia Film Festival. And, you know, I quickly recognized, you know, what a remarkable eye and talent he had for selecting films. And about 20 months or so ago, he was promoted to programmer as well for a number of reasons, not only in celebration of that remarkable eye and talent that he has, but also because over the last several years, we have grown together the festival to such an extent that it's absolutely necessary to have Wesley here working with me to expand and grow the program. And in particular, the last 2 years, we've had a commitment to emerging film artists. And so we're broadening the number of young filmmakers or newer emerging filmmakers that we're bringing in. And Wesley, to a large extent, is responsible for the bulk of that and identifying these films and these emerging artists. You want to talk about some of these films?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and just in general, this is something we can point at as how we're putting the success of recent years of the festival to work for us and growing to be in a position, even to just simply be able to bring this number of filmmakers in, wasn't something that was really an option for us a few years back. So this is how we're sort of capitalizing on the community and the audience's willingness to come out, take a chance, collaborate, see some things. We're going to continue bringing more people and more great, even greater things to you. One that I'm personally very excited about is a film called Buzzard. And first off, it is on the more challenging end of things, so the more experimental end. But if anyone wants to kind of wade into those interesting waters, this is going to be a really interesting one. 2 years ago, we showed this director, Joel Patrykas, his first feature was a film called Ape that we screened and was actually the winner of our Programmers Award in 2012. When we screened that, we billed it as equal parts David Lynch, John Cassavetes, and Louis C.K. And this year's film, Buzzard, is an even more intense, even more ridiculous and abstract and puzzling distillation of a lot of those elements that, even if it doesn't mean anything to you, if it has kind of a suggestion of a Lynchian but very independent, scrappy world, that's where this film lives. And we're bringing the director in this year. He and I have been talking since we first kind of met up after his film won the Best New Director Award at the Locarno Film Festival 2 years ago. We've both been wanting to get him here. It's finally happening this year. He's going to be a director to watch over the next few years as he's having success with both Factory 25 is a distributor that picked up his first film, now at Oscilloscope Laboratories. So he's starting to make a name for himself, and we're right there with him in tandem as he's making his way off the cutting edge with Joel Patrykas.
We have 2 minutes left. So can I ask each of you, the three of you, Wes Harris, Jody Kilbasa, Sean McCord, the film that, that we haven't talked about yet that you want to make sure the name gets out there?
Gee willikers.
Anybody? Anybody?
Why don't you go see The Heroes of Arvine Place, which is a lovely film that I saw earlier in the year out on the festival circuit. It's warm, it's sweet, and sometimes it's nice to see a film that's just like that. And we have the filmmaker coming in, mm-hmm. Damien Lahi.
And, nice crew of folks, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. in support of that film. So I would suggest that. Yeah, and my dark horse would be to go out and see Slingshot. That's the film I talked about Dean Kamen as well. That's a great inspirational documentary and a very important one as well.
We've got a few packages of shorts this year, including one of my favorites, which is one of my favorite packages of shorts I've ever put together, which is Dwelling. And that's a group of experimental essay films exploring living spaces and geographies and how they've been haunted and informed by the lives that have been shared inside of them.
Sean McCord?
Well, I enjoy the shorts, too. I was going to mention the short documentaries.
Yeah.
And we've already talked about this, but I told my son, don't do anything Sunday afternoon. You're going to come with me to see The Natural. That's one of those. I'm not big into sports films, but that's one of those few films I remember when it came out. I sat in the theater watching it with my eyes welling up, thinking, my God, this is a beautiful film.
Yeah, I saw that. I showed it to my 9-year-old son. I coach his baseball team, assistant coach his baseball team,
right.
And he loved it, absolutely loved it. So,
yes.
You know, take your kids to see this film or just
but
go see
it
yourself.
You don't have to be a baseball fan to see
it. You don't.
Because it's
don't.
A very
it's just,
human story.
It's a lovely human story, inspirational, beautifully done, great, great soundtrack as well, I might add. And just beautifully shot.
Yes.
All right, virginiafilmfestival.org
there
for
is.
The wonderful, completely updated website. Beats the stink out of all the ones from 20 years ago.
William
you can
Faulkner
find the
site.
Film Festival Guide in the Seville Weekly and probably in dozens of other places around town. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you next week.
2015. Sean McCord, take care. Jody and Wes, try not to burn yourselves out too much. Sean McCord, your podcast can be found on Seville Podcast.
At Seville Podcast, but also all going to be at virginiafilmfestival.org. And Rick, we'll see you at the movies.
Yay. Bob Gibson will be on next week to talk about post-election.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong
and Max Cecilia Struther.
Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.